Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 151 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. Jhulan Goswami is an unbelievable beast. In a career spanning 20 years and 261 days, this is the second longest of any woman to have played international cricket. Jhulan Goswami picked up 355 wickets in 284 matches she turned out for India across the three formats. The only woman cricketer with 200 plus wickets in ODIs, she took 255 in the format, 64 more than the second best on the chart. When Jhulan Goswami started playing the game, women's cricket in India was sleepwalking at night, mired in indifference. 2 decades down the line, when India and England lined up to form a guard of honour in her final game at Lord's, the picture looked rosy. On the podcast today, we have Suvam. He's currently pursuing his MPhil in history from Jadavpur University. His area of interest focuses on sports, gender history, student movements, and post-colonial India. His interest in women's cricket began after way back in 2013 where he read about Belinda Clark and Mithali Raj in a newspaper. He has written articles for Female Cricket, Youth Ki Awaaz, and Women's Cricket Set. Hi Suvam, welcome to Never on the Back Foot podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to the conversation too. Now, our topic for discussion today is quite interesting, right? We're talking about Jhulan Goswami. Now, when you look at hard numbers, they say Jhulan Goswami has retired as the highest wicket taker in women's internationals with 355 scalps. But I think when you look at Jhulan Goswami, right, she's a lot more than just the numbers. And through this episode too, we will talk more about her. But for so long, she has been synonymous with women's cricket in India. So how do you look at her?
As you rightly mentioned, that there are the numbers which we can always look up to from the stats and the match reports. There are theirs. But at the same time, if we look at Jhulan Goswami as a human or the journey she has made coming from a suburbs in West Bengal, in a time when women's cricket got barely noticed among people, mm-hmm. it is an achievement itself. And even if even nowadays when we talk about cricket, the thing predominantly comes to our mind is the batters, they're scoring runs, centuries. The bowlers seldom got noticed. So from that perspective, when she is coming from Bengal, which is not very much has rich heritage of cricket, apart from some few names, she became a fast bowler, and after 20 years, she is a household name now and a legend of the game. She woke up early in the morning and made journey for almost three and a half hours to reach to Baliganj, where she practiced under mm-hmm. Shapan Sadhu, and her career began from there. And we all know about the story of 1997. How she was a ball girl and she noticed Catherine Fitzpatrick's bowling and she wanted to be someone like her. She wanted to bowl as first as she can. So if we look at her as a human being she is, or as a cricketer she is, without being looking at the numbers, the energy she brings in the field, you can hear her voice from the distance, that when she was cheering up people. So Jhulan Goswami is not only, if we look at Jhulan Goswami as a only with the numbers, I don't think we will be very generous to her, and we need to look beyond the numbers.
That's actually such a good point you bring in, right? Because now for a large part of her 20-year international career, Jhulan Goswami was kind of even, you know, India's safety net, you know, with the ball. In times of crisis, she was the one, you know, India did turn to for hope to, you know, break a blossoming partnership or, you know, just stem the flow of runs. Or even after a disappointing loss, she was just there for her players, right? Now, how heavy will her loss be for India? And how do you just, you know, look back at all the contributions and everything that's going on?
I think from yesterday, there has been a void. Like, you can feel a player's absence with another player. But you do not replace the character, or you do not replace the enigma she has bring with her. First of all, playing for 20 years at the highest level is not an easy job. And even if we look at the current scenarios, players are taking breaks for their mental fatigue or for the physical, to take care of their physical well-being.
Hmm.
But Julan Goswami played from 2002 to 2022, and she has seen changes in the cricketing careers, in her cricketing journey, and as how cricket has changed over the years as an idea. To an more professional sports as far as women's are concerned. And if you look at Julan Goswami has adopted of these changing dynamics of the games as very well. And India is not very much famous for producing fast bowlers. Even if you look at the numbers, after Julan Goswami, you can find very few Indian fast bowlers who are taking up those much of wickets. So, India will miss her, and replacing Julan Goswami, whoever, it will not be a very easy task for anyone. And I don't think anyone can replace a character like Julan Goswami in near future.
Absolutely right. And even when we look back at Julan Goswami now, early in her career, she was the kind of character, you know, who never hesitated to reach out to overseas pacers, nor did she think twice about, you know, passing on that knowledge to youngsters as she became, you know, very well known as Juluthi, right? Now, the way players, teammates, rivals, especially even the way pacers speak about her legacy and the way she's just gone through her entire career tells us a story, right? Now, how do you look at these contributions, you know, with respect to how she is just such a modest personality and so approachable?
Even just remember a story that Mithali Raj once spoken to an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mithali Raj, like Julan Goswami, Mithali Raj also has a very long career. And at times, Mithali Raj felt depressed or things like she is failing, she was not scoring runs and going through low phases at time. And Mithali Raj mentions that there was time when she was thinking of leaving cricket and going back to her other ambitions in career.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to Julan, and she always mentions that how Julan motivated her to go on with her career. And that finally came up with when Mithali Raj came again after Mithali Raj was given back her captaincy and she starts a pile of runs, scores piles of runs. So that is one of the stories that stood out for me and speaks a volume about Julan Goswami's presence in the dressing room. It was quite evident from Harmanpreet's reaction when she hugged and cried in the last match during the presentation ceremony as well. And we all know that Harmanpreet made her debut under Julan's captaincy.
Yes.
So even if we look at the players from abroad like Suji Bates or Sophie Devine, how they have looked up to Julan Goswami and how their contribution or talk about Julan Goswami's effect in the world cricket have brought forward, that was quite evident that Julan Goswami has shaped a world cricket in her way. We remember Kainat Imtiaz, right? How Kainat Imtiaz was moved by seeing Julan Goswami in 2005 when India toured Pakistan, maybe for the first time, if I'm not wrong. So from there, Kainat Imtiaz seeing Julan Goswami's bowling at her best strokes, her ambition to become a fast bowler grew up, and finally both of them played in 2017 World Cup. So not only in the Indian dressing room, but Julan Goswami has motivated players from around the world. Even yesterday, speaking to the reporters or the presenters, Emilia Carr said that maybe she has dreamed for facing Julan Goswami more, and she has wished that she could have played Julan Goswami in the team, against the team, against her or in the team. So Julan Goswami not only inspired players from her generations, but players those are much younger than her. Shefali Verma was not even born when Julan Goswami started her career.
Exactly.
I guess Indian dressing room will miss her, and as we know that she was kind of a bridge to the players, from the younger players from the the senior-most players.
Exactly. That's again such a good point you bring in. And this is probably just the tip of the iceberg, right? With respect to the stories and how many lives Julan Goswami has actually affected for the better. And when you talk about athletes like Julan Goswami too, right? These are your once-in-generation players. Now, again, earlier in this episode, you did talk about how, you know, India does not have that kind of a pace battery, especially when Julan Goswami was around. And it was much later that, you know, we saw so many pacers burst into the scene. Now, do you think, you know, that India still has a good set of pacers to build their team with, and we still, you know, good signs ahead?
I think India have a good battery of fast bowlers, but the point is how Indian management is handling the fast bowlers.
Hmm.
Like if you look, we have pacers like Renkua Singh Thakur or Meghna Singh or Pooja Vasraka is playing in the final 11 now. But even if we go back a couple of years, we have Ayush Ishwani, Arundhati Reddy, or even Sukarna Parida, who have came into the side, played a couple of matches and they were dropped.
Hmm.
And just because India, like any other women's side, plays a less number of matches, so the players did not get enough opportunity to prove themselves. They came into the side, and I guess selectors were impressed by their performances, so they were selected in the side. Maybe they did not get that much of opportunity, or maybe they did not live up to the full potentials on the matches when they got chances in the matches. But unless we back our players and give them much more opportunities, I don't think that the entire system will flourish, because there is a vast difference coming from domestic to playing in the international arena. Not every player is capable of handling that pressure. So the more the matches they will play, they will develop more. This is one thing. And another thing is, if you look at the current Indian management, I don't think there is an accountability with the management.
Hmm.
No one knows why Shikha Pandey is not in the side, and what is the way out for her to make a comeback into the side.
Hmm.
So unless these communications are given, there remains a gap of communication between the players and the management. If there is a gap of communications, then that it is not very much beneficial for the Indian team. Now, after Julan Goswami, Shikha Pandey is one of the senior most players. So once she is in the side, she can develop the younger bowlers like Renuka Singh Thakur or even Pooja Vasrakar. So these things need to be taken care of. And another thing is, the more we get a platform like Women's IPL, like there is a WBBL in Australia or even hundreds in England, the more we can develop those players in a platform which gives a similar kind of situation like international cricket.
Hmm.
So players coming from domestic and they're sharpening their skills in the franchisee-based leagues or even leagues like WBBL or even in hundreds, then it will ultimately develop the Indian cricket. It was quite evident in case of Australia, like Hannah Darlington or even Darcy Brown or Annabel Sutherland. They all developed through WBBL and over the years. So it was it is the way out to make a good place batteries like Australia's or England have.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more to what you said, right? And while we also focus on disparities and other massive concerns, now Julan Goswami's record stands tall, right? But I think what one unfortunate thing is the fact that she didn't get enough opportunities to bowl in test cricket, right? Now, with just 12 tests in her career that has spanned 20 years, it is quite unfortunate. And to give some context as well, now James Anderson did make his debut after Julan Goswami, and he has played 175 tests in 19 years. Now, what are your thoughts on women's cricket? Do you think women's cricket needs more tests? And do you think it's an absolute shame that we didn't get to see Julan Goswami enough in test cricket?
Yes, absolutely. There is always has been a debate regarding what happened after 2006 when ICC decided to take up the women's cricket as well. There is a section of people who always said that women's got more tests prior to 2006. Though the facilities were less compared to now, the players have to earn a hard a lot, work a lot apart from their on-field performances. But they played more tests back then. Now after 2006, how many tests? India have played less than 10 tests.
Exactly.
Tests. So it's always a shame that women players didn't get as much as we have loved to see. Like even if you look at outside India, players like Suji Bates or even Sophie Devan probably couldn't get a test match before their career ends.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe as we have seen in the future two programs, that number of India is given 3 tests, the number of tests are rising, but we need more, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's hoping we do get to see a lot more women's test cricket. Now we see the Ashes for women's cricket, you know, being expanded to 5 days. And hopefully, you know, this is a template that is set in for other teams also to follow. And, you know, coming back to Jhulan Goswami, right now, she had the privilege of retiring on the field. And this is, I think, according to very few in Indian cricket. Most recently, Mithali Raj didn't quite get that kind of reception from her teammates. It was mostly her retiring after the World Cup. So I think it was very heartwarming, you know, to see Jhulan Goswami bid a goodbye to her teammates. And it was such a heartwarming thing, right? Considering how the English team also, you know, formed that whole circle. And yes, it was just a very special moment. So what are your thoughts on that? And how touched were you with all the gestures?
I think it couldn't have been much better that Jhulan Goswami is retiring on the field, which is known as the Mecca of cricket or the home of cricket, and India is clean sweeping England. India winning series after 23 years and at England, it couldn't have been much better.
Mm.
And the reception Jhulan Goswami received throughout the series from Indian dressing room, from the England camp, it always has been a pleasure to watch. And a player like Jhulan Goswami, who has a character in herself, rightly deserve these kind of receptions from not only from Indian side, but from the other side as well. And retiring from the field, which is kind of epitome of the cricket, game of cricket, is always a heartwarming gesture. And this maybe is one of the, I think this thing will always keep in the mind of Jhulan Goswami, that she retired from Lords.
Exactly. And this is another moment that we as fans will also really, you know, keep so close to our heart. Because for us, right, Jhulan Goswami is kind of this last link, no, between the two eras of Indian women's cricket. For long, she has probably, you know, been synonymous with the game in India. And alongside the likes of Mithali Raj, Diana Edulji, Shanta Rangaswamy, among so many others. And at times, they've even, like, you know, outshined her. And she is probably in their shadow, right? Now, with Jhulan Goswami also hanging up her boots, do we see Indian cricket ascend to another era? We have Harmanpreet Kaur, who's at the helm. We have Smriti Mandana. So many exciting players in that setup. We also, you know, have the problem of abundance, right? So many players just waiting to showcase their talent.
Yes.
So, good signs again for the women's team?
Yes, absolutely. It's a good sign that so many players are coming up. And as you rightly pointed out, that Indian cricket is gradually going up to a new era, ushering a new era. And while Mithali Raj and Jhulan Goswami's contributions always remain, it is worth pointing out that while both of the legend of the game has taken retirement and Harmanpreet Kaur is leading from the front, Indian women's cricket team won back-to-back series. Indian women's cricket team is actually entering in a new era, as you have pointed out. And even if you look at Harmanpreet Kaur's age, she is 33 by now, and it's maybe she will lead that side till 2025 World Cup. And once she leaves, when Indian women cricket will be given a new captain like Harmanpreet Kaur, maybe Ozymandias Rodrigues. So as long as more younger players are coming up and the more facilities Indian women's cricketers are getting, maybe not as much as we would have liked, but still they are getting something. So the Indian cricket team is doing better, even if they are not winning as much as series we would have loved to see, but their performance is getting better. Winning Commonwealth silver medal or back to qualifying for back-to-back T20 World Cups in the knockout stages. So Indian women's cricket is developing, and absolutely they are entering a new phase, new era.
Yeah, that's so true, because now we see, you know, these good performances coming in so consistently. And again, you know, as in another podcast too, I spoke about how, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if India wins a World Cup, right? Considering we've had players of this legacy who have set the benchmark, who have really, you know, molded the team into such a perfect unit. I think, you know, the signs are definitely, you know, positive for women's cricket. And we as fans, you know, yes. We would just absolutely love to see that. And, you know, another point that just did come to my mind was how, you know, Julan Goswami and Shikha Pandey were kind of like the flag bearers of India's bowling for over half a decade, right? But apart from them, we did talk about how the fast bowling cupboard was thinly stocked. Until recently, we have seen so many stars come through and everything. So now going ahead, do you see Julan Goswami, you know, entering into this coaching phase and, you know, finding talent at the grassroots level or doing a consultancy type of role for Team India?
I would absolutely love to see that Julan Goswami is coming to the coaching or even mentoring the players, because as we all know that Indian women's team lack some kind of mental toughness in going into the championships like World Cup or even Commonwealth Games. That is the crunch moments that has been making the differences. India losing matches from comfortable situations by not handling the pressures well. So the likes of Julan Goswami, who has played for so long, or even Shikha Pandey, when they come to the management, they bring a lot of experiences with them, and they know how, as they have played for so long and handled the pressures, they know how to deal with the things. So the youngsters can learn from them, and I'm sure they will learn from them. And looking at the performances, Pooja Vastrakar did well in the World Cup, and as we all know, Renuka Singh Thakur did exceptionally well in the Commonwealth Games and in recently concluded England series. But the thing I am concerned with, that Renuka Singh Thakur is much more like a Kate Cross kind of bowler. So while she got the swings in the England conditions, it will be worth to see how much she flares up in the subcontinents, and where India will play her next couple of matches. So this thing will be interesting to see how Indian pace bowling attack performs in the subcontinent, as they have done well in the overseas conditions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we as fans will be watching with bated breath as to where, you know, the future of our fast bowling lies. But, you know, now Julan Goswami's retirement has come on the heels of Mithali Raj's. And this will, I think, truly mark the end of an era, right? Now, this was a period of two decades, you know, of dominance, of breaking records. And I think they really ascended the Indian team from, you know, being this middling team that played for love of cricket to one that actually commands respect and standing. Like, teams are actually scared of, you know, facing us in mega events, which really goes to show the kind of impact that these two have, you know, really put in, and that has seeped in through to the team as well. Now, the Mill-Jewell combination are certainly jewels of Indian cricket, right? And how would you look at their contribution?
As we have stated earlier, that when we speak of Indian women's cricket, the stats and the records are always there. We can always look up to them. In Mithali Raj being the highest run getter and in ODI cricket, and Julan Goswami is the highest wicket taker in ODI cricket, you don't every day see this kind of features in Indian cricket, that when one Indian is topping the bowling list and another one is top of the run getters list. But apart from that, let us look at how long they have played. They have played for more than 20 years, and I think Indian women's cricket is get the due recognition after 2017 World Cup, if I'm not too wrong about it.
Yeah.
So almost all entire their career, they have played without kind of any recognitions, without any kind of praises, if we want to say. So this is the case where they inspire me most. Like when you are getting praise for what you are doing, or when you are getting the recognition, it always kind of an easy task to keep doing that thing. Hmm. But looking at the reverse side, when you are not getting anything in return, you are doing so. People get feel low, or even start thinking that she is doing right thing in the due course. But Mithali Raj and Julan Goswami, both of them, without looking at their personal gains, even if we put in that way, looking apart from the records and runs and the wickets they have made, they have played on and on and on. So they not only have scored runs, but they have also paved the way for the future generations to come, as they say that if you can't see, you can't become one. Mm-hmm. So they have created examples when people can look up to and say that okay, there are the players like Mithali Raj and Julan Goswami, I can be like them. So they have paved way for the future generations. They have made the roads easy. They have walked on a lonely road, but they have made the work easy for the future generations that will look up to them and take up cricket. And as we can see now, the grassroots academies are growing up, and mm-hmm. women, girl childs are taking up cricket. So apart from, there are the runs and wickets and series wins and trophies, but apart from those things, Mil Jul is much more important in that scenario, from coming from a country where when crickets are used to get less recognitions and less when cricket was less covered in back those days. Mm-hmm. Coming from a point, if we want to keep these contexts in mind, Mil Jul is much more important in this scenario.
Absolutely. And even the kind of sacrifices, you know, that they've put in to ensure their careers have been so long is just, I think, nothing short of phenomenal, right? Now, when you look at Julan Goswami's career, I think it was marked by deep commitment. It was also, this perfection that she always wanted to seek, and that willingness to fight against all the odds, right? Now, she has got injuries on her back, heel, shoulder, ankle, knees. And with every setback, I think she's just ensured that her comeback was stronger than that, right? And she is undoubtedly your absolute fighter. Her rise and the way she's made a place for herself right at the top of the game, you know, topping the ranks. That's just, you know, a very numeric way of seeing it. But then the way she's always ensured her performance has been optimal. Like, how would you look at it?
As you have rightly pointed out, she has been an absolute fighter. Just let us remember one moment. It was 2015 and New Zealand was traveling India, and the five-match ODI series was scheduled to held at Bangalore. It was one of those first memories that I have that I can see women's cricket on live on television. Hmm. So in the first match, India was 60 odd runs, and they have lost 7 or 8 wickets. And Julan Goswami came in and chipped away with a brilliant 50. Hmm. India got past 125 runs, and finally, ultimately, India won by some small margins in one like that. If we look at those entire match, Julan Goswami was determined to take India to a safety with her, not only with her ball but with her bat. So that was one of her innings that very first come to your mind. At the same time, if you look at the last year India versus Australia series, when Australia was 2-0 up, and in the third match when India needs some kind of 10-12 run to win the match, and they have lost 8 wickets. So Julan Goswami came and calmly win the match for them. So there have been setbacks on her behalf, but she always have rose to the occasion and contributed as far as she can with the bat or with the ball. Hmm. And in the field as well. She is 39 years old, and even then we saw how brilliant a catch she took in her last game in that sleep, and she attempted for another one after she bowling her 10 overs. Luckily, but unluckily, she didn't grab the catch. Hmm. But that attempt was worth mentioning.
Exactly. And, you know, although Mithali Raj and Julan Goswami have literally given their all every single time they stepped onto the field, I think one thing that's probably going to sting them is the fact that they've not won a World Cup. Now, this would remain a void even in Julan Goswami's glittering career, right? She's played 250-over World Cup finals and a T20 World Cup final. But every time, you know, it was the team not coming through and, you know, stumbling at that final hurdle. Now, do you think this will always be something that would hurt her? And what's your perspective, you know, of how people weigh a player's success with the silverware they win?
Even Julan Goswami mentioned that it is one of her regrets that she didn't win any World Cup in her career. So, yes, we always measure Goswami Mohan with any World Cup, if any World Cup she has gotten any World Cup or not. But again, as I have mentioned earlier, if we want to look Julan Goswami as with stats only and World Cup only, I don't think we would justify to her. But even if we omit the thing that she didn't win any kind of World Cup or championships as well, if we look at the numbers, she has got 255 ODI wickets. The next best seamer was Amita Sharma, and she got less than 100 wickets. So if we look at the disparity between her and her teammates in terms of the spanning of the career, or even in the term of number of wickets they have taken. So in Julan Goswami always carried the Indian fast bowling attack on her broad shoulder. Yes, she didn't win any kind of world championships, but that does not take anything out of her illustrious career. And I think we need to looking at the players on the basis of how many World Cups they have won, because after all, you don't alone win a World Cup. It is a team sport, so you have to have a backing of 11 players. So compared to the other teams, India was not that much of stronger side in the past. They are trying to matching up to the levels of Australia or England, who have a strong system in place. India is trying to get to that level. So fighting with a team that was not as strong as the other countries had back, Julan Goswami done pretty well things, even if she didn't win a World Cup.
Exactly. That point actually puts a lot of things in perspective. Looking back in retrospect now, Julan Goswami along with Mithali Raj have guided, you know, the Indian women's cricket team to its first test series win too, right, in England in that 2006-07 season. And it was during probably the same season that Julan Goswami also helped the team, you know, get their first victory against England. And it's kind of unforgettable because, you know, she scored a 50, and this was as a night watchman in that first test. And she also took her career best figures, you know, where she scalped like where she notched career best figures of 10 for 78 and then 5 for 33 and 5 for 45. And even in the second test, she was just phenomenal with those figures. Now, how much of this match do you remember? And do you think this was the point that we knew that a star had arrived and it was going to change things for the better?
For me, I only read about the test match in 2006-2007 series. Like if you remember that India came to the test series after getting whitewashed by 4-0 against the hosts, and they called it Julan's day out in Taunton. Like in that test match, Julan Goswami get 5 wickets also in both innings, and she was the first Indian bowler to get 10 wicket haul in test match cricket, and she surpassed Neetu David's previous best figures. And if you look at the number, Julan Goswami's 10 for 70, but it was the best, even if you take men and women cricketers in England. in a test match. So that test match was something for Julan Goswami, and rarely Indian women's cricket have seen something like something fit like that, and even in playing in England, defeating them in their own backyard. That not always happens. You can see that kind of incidents regularly. In after 2006, then you can, India did never played a test match in 8 years, and they again they came back in 2014 and winning another test match. So the fact that India even is unbeaten in England is still worth mentioning that. So yes, as you have pointed out, that Julan Goswami's performance in those test matches was phenomenal, and she kind of spearheaded the Indian fast bowling effort.
Exactly. And it was probably during that peak season and later in 2008 too, right? She took over captaincy from Mithali Raj and held it till 2011. And in 2008, she also became the fourth woman to, you know, reach 100 wickets in ODIs at that phenomenal Asia Cup too. She led India in 25 ODIs. And this, I think, not a lot we know about her captaincy career. So could you shed some light on the same?
Yes, I agree with you that we would not talk much as much as talk about Julan Goswami's bowling or batting. Her captaincy goes unnoticed, but even if we look at the point of her captaincy is that even nowadays we find hard to defeat Australia in our either in bilateral series or in the World Cups. But in 2009 World Cup, we didn't only beat Australia once but twice in the group stage match or even in the third place match. So that was quite an achievement for me as Julan, when we look at Julan Goswami as a captain. Under her leadership, India beaten Australia twice in the same championship. Even in 2009 and 2010, India qualified for the semi-finals in the T20 World Cups. So under her captaincy, India even didn't win a trophy, but was doing pretty well. And reaching out to the knockout stages of the big tournaments like that. And even if we look at Julan Goswami's captaincy in Bengal in 2017-18, when Bengal was playing the plate group in domestic season, Julan Goswami was the captain and she took charge of the side. And then in the next season, Bengal qualified for the elite groups. So Julan Goswami's captaincy is another thing that we need to recognize much more than that is. And we always talk about Mithali Raj and Harmanpreet Kaur, but take into consideration the fact that India has done pretty well under her captaincy in the world stages, it is worth mentioning.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about Julan Goswami too, right, she is such a trailblazer. Now, she ignored all the naysayers. She kind of defied odds to become probably the best that this country has ever seen. You know, I came across this amazing statistic that said that she's probably the only woman bowler who's, you know, bowled 10,000 balls. And I was like, wow.
Yes.
And, you know, this is on flat tracks, right? With very little pace or carry. She would come in and hit the right areas, make things happen for the Indian team. Ball after ball, over after over, session after session, and match after match. She's just been going at it, right, for 20 years. And I think what is remarkable is, you know, how she's charged in with the same intensity that she did as a 19-year-old, putting her body through the ringer and just giving her 100% every single time she stepped out of the field. So what are your thoughts on the same, right? That longevity and, you know, that dedication and passion to the game.
Even if we remember what Julan Goswami says regarding her last test match, last one day match, that she always wanted to represent India in one match and she wanted to bowl as fast as she can. And I think she has done this pretty well for a long 20 years. Now, for the fast bowlers, as we know that the body gives up, and now it was not easy for a fast bowler to continue with same rigor that Julan Goswami has continued for 20 years. And I think that is one of her achievements, if we ignore the statistics. And as I have mentioned earlier, that if we look at players like Catherine Brandt or Anil Sarabchhol, like who have done pretty much well in the England subcontinent, they have taken retirement in a much younger age, and they are taking breaks now when the mental health is coming up to the main foray, and people are talking about it. People are getting advantage of taking it, and when they feel that they need a break from the game, they are going away from it, going away from the game. They are charging themselves up and coming back to the international scenario with much more rigor. But we don't remember Julian Goswami doing the same, and that is another thing that we need to remember, that back those days, mental health and conditioning was not a much talked about thing. And Julian Goswami, for her 20 years career, has, I didn't think, taken a break from any international scenario. And once it was her body that gave up, she was forced to take a break, she took a break. And even after the 2022 World Cup, when she was forced to sit back in a sideline in the match main game against South Africa, she didn't play the Sri Lanka series, but she again came back in England. And we know how well she bowled in all the three matches. She was as economical as she can be. And cricketers have talked how Julian Goswami is tough to face. Like, they cannot, I think it was Tammy Beaumont who said that Julian Goswami has got her much number of time. She was her bunny, and both her, and she has faced a lot of difficulties playing her. So coming from India, which is not famous for producing fast bowlers, like we have mentioned earlier, and coming from that area, not being able to produce much more swing like they produce in England or in Australia, the bounce they produce in Australia, Julian Goswami has produced something remarkable, which 255 wickets, coming from a country like India, which produces, as you have mentioned, back tracks.
Exactly. And now, you know, we see a movie that's being made about her career, which is perhaps a fitting tribute, right, to like the amount she has contributed to the women's cricket is just, you know, unfathomable. Now, do you think this is a welcome sign, you know, to document her career, to give the younger generations a glimpse into what a beast she was in this game?
Absolutely. Like, in India, two things sells: one movie and another one is just cricket. So I think so. And when you combine movie and we saw, in case of IPL, when the glamour world and when cricket merges together, how big market that they can create. So when Julian Goswami's biopic is making, or it is a welcoming sign that people will get to know her more. The thing we know is only about her her career on the field, and with a little bit of interviews that are coming now. But there is much more to that when these things are not very. She comes from a generation when things are not very much documented. So we always see the shiny side of any person or any achievement. That we only look at that India have achieved a series victory, or Julian Goswami has achieved 255 wickets, but we don't the practice, the rigorous day in and day out journey was almost get unnoticed. So a movie on her is always a welcoming. To get to know Julian Goswami as a human or as a person, or her journey, the sacrifices she had made to know better of those things. A movie is always a sign.
Yes. Yeah. And
maybe that movie can inspire much more cricketers, much more young child to take up cricket or become someone like Julian Goswami in the near future.
Absolutely. You know, and as fans, I think we are going to be looking forward to, you know, watching this biopic, and hopefully, you know, Bollywood does do justice to it. And
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And as we come closer to the end of this interview, if you had to, you know, give one word, you know, describe her contributions, what is the word that's coming right at the top of your head?
Pathbreaker. She is a pathbreaker. I mean, every country where a girl child is treated is not treated as much as boys are treated. When we even nowadays we see how much girls have been violated, the girl child has been tormented, or even they're not as much as welcoming as the boys. So people like Julan Goswami can even can with her career, with her stats, with her character, can if character can ignite some hope in even in the parents that yes, even if have give birth of a girl child, she can be a genius like her. So not only in Julan Goswami should not be remembered someone from a cricketing perspective as well, but at the we need to look at sports and cricket overall as a something with connection to the society. We cannot put, we cannot keep sports aside in separate from the societies. So that society is a different thing and sports is a different thing. So sports can change societies, and as we have seen in various cases. So sports can inspire someone to do anything. So people like Julan Goswami is one of those, you say, the figure of those changes in sports and in societies as well.
Exactly. She's nothing short of an inspiration. And, you know, before we wrap up this episode, do you have any final thoughts and a message for our listeners?
You are doing pretty good job with this podcast, and I hope everyone listens. And with these podcasts, we reach out to the much more people as with the days goes by. And people get more accustomed with women's cricket in general, and they know that the craze regarding women's cricket should get bigger.
Exactly. And I'm glad, you know, that you really joined me on this discussion, and we are doing our bit for, you know, spreading the message about women's cricket, and most importantly, an icon like Julan Goswami, because, you know, she really deserves all the accolades, and better late than never, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And on that note, thank you so much, Subham, you know, for joining me on the podcast, sharing some remarkable insights. And, you know, the kind of knowledge you have about women's cricket is just amazing, right? Like, I was mind blown listening to you talk, and I would have loved to pick your brain a lot more, but we do have limits on time. But thank you so much, you know, for joining me. And here's hoping I can have you back on the podcast again, and, you know, just discuss another thing. And until next time, take care and bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you for having me. I also enjoy talking to you and people, a person like Julan Goswami's career. I have enjoyed a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
With this, we draw curtains on the discussion. Now, Juludi is an inspiration. At the start of her career, when they told her success was one-off, she went back and backed it up with consistency. When they told her pure pace was never enough, she developed the ability to move the ball both ways. Later, when they told her that fast bowlers wouldn't make good captains, she led a young Indian team to two consecutive knockouts in ICC tournaments. When they stripped her of her captaincy, she simply shrugged it off and continued to take wickets. When they told her she had lost her zing, she went back and reinvented herself. And when they told her she was on her last legs, she carried on and on and on. Eventually, they stopped talking. She had finally won them over. This is the legacy of Julan Goswami. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverInTheBackOne on Twitter for the latest facts, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.